This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Welcome to the podcast from JNS Pediatrics for July 6, 2012. I'm Natalie Pinsham. I will be reading a summary of some of the articles published today. The article topics in this podcast are epilepsy and hydrocephalus. Vagus nerve stimulation for partial and generalized epilepsy from infancy to adolescence. A clinical article by Eric Thompson and colleagues. Although the FDA status of medical drug and device approval may affect access to care, such approval is often categorized according to practical rather than scientific considerations. Based on FDA approval, vagus nerve stimulation for medically refractory epilepsy is performed off-label in children younger than 12 years of age and in patients with generalized epilepsy. This was a retrospective study conducted by the authors from Oregon Health and Science University. 146 pediatric patients had undergone initial implantation of a vagus nerve stimulation system at an accredited pediatric epilepsy center. These authors found that an age less than 12 years and a generalized epilepsy type surprisingly had no effect on treatment efficacy, which was equal to that for FDA-approved indications. In pediatric patients undergoing vagus nerve stimulation, seizure frequency was reduced in 91% of patients, seizure duration in 50%, postictal period in 49%, and anti-epileptic medication use in 75%. Mean follow-up post-implantation was 41 months. No serious or permanent complications occurred. Four patients, that is 2.7%, required partial or complete hardware removal for infection. The authors conclude that when patients are selected by a specialist pediatric epilepsy center, vagus nerve stimulation appears to be safe and efficacious in children of all ages with either partial or generalized epilepsy. Rainfall drives hydrocephalus in East Africa, a clinical article by Stephen Schiff and co-authors. Hydrocephalus is the dominant condition requiring neurosurgery in children. In 2005, Dr. Worf showed that the dominant cause of hydrocephalus in Uganda was post-infectious, resulting from neonatal sepsis. More recently, Lee and colleagues demonstrated that there is DNA evidence for preceding gram-negative infection in these children, and that similar bacteria could be recovered from these infants' home environments. The spectrum of bacteria was found to change with the season. In the present study, the authors used climate data from the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association's African Rainfall Estimation Project. They fused spatiotemporal data from 6 years of satellite climate data with 6 years of hospital case records in 696 consecutive children with post-infectious hydrocephalus. Four infection onset peaks were found to straddle the twice-yearly rainy season peaks, demonstrating that the infections occurred at intermediate levels of rainfall. Such peak quenching is also seen in cholera transmission in India and Bangladesh, and there may be similar mechanisms at work in producing these cases of hydrocephalus. These findings reveal a previously unknown link between climate and a neurosurgical condition. Given prior microbial analysis, these findings point to environmental and climatic factors as important in efforts seeking to prevent the infections in newborns that lead to post-infectious hydrocephalus. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter, and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group.